important that each of us walk in our purpose, in who we are called to be. God did not make any two of us alike. And I know there's identical twins, but how many know their DNA and the things in them are not alike? They may look alike on the outside, but on the inside, it's different. And so that is true. There are some things that can resemble some stuff, but it's always different. And God has created each and every one of us, each and every one of you, a plan, a purpose for your life. And I'm reminded of this purpose because I want you to understand his power is powerful enough to give each of you your own identity.
Can you say that notepad one more time?
And it doesn't surprise me. We're living in an hour and a time where identity is at an all-time crisis. And the reason it's at a crisis is because if he can keep us from knowing who we are and what our purpose is, then we will never fulfill our destiny. And so I want to encourage all of you today, because again, tapping into the power of God and his plan. You know, I was, Brother Ken, I was thinking of you as when I was here earlier, sitting there, that, and I just want to share, you know, he may be a bass player that can play the bass, but I mean, he knows and I know that your purpose is greater than that. Not that bass player is less than, it's really important. In fact, that's one of his passions, and his love was worship and music. But his purpose is greater than just playing the bass. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody here because, see, we got some jobs, we got some positions, we got some things we do, and we think that that's what we do. I want you to know you're more than that. And I was using him as an example because I was thinking how I'm inspired and encouraged by hearing him. And I've known him for more than 30 years. And to be back in connection with him, and I'm thinking about, Lord, like, what's the purpose? And he's saying he's got great purpose over his life. And so I need to speak it. And I'm not afraid to share it with everybody else. Hello? We got to stop, too. That's another thing. So we don't want to encourage and push nobody else any play because we always worry about what this thing is going to take away from us. What if I told you no one can have what you have and no one can be who you are because God created you for that purpose? The only thing that can stop it is you. This power that I'm talking about, you can't, and the power that produces purpose. So he has a purpose and destined for your life, and you, the only person that can alter it by not doing it. But the power was designed for you, for your purpose, and then in purpose, it will help to lay out a plan. And so I needed to get this and conclude this week because I've been thinking about this and I'm thinking, are they listening and hearing what God's trying to do and say? And you know, my heart has been like heavy with trying to get this out. So let me share with y'all. So don't nobody be dismayed. In the process of walking out our purpose, problems, trials, and tribulations will show up. They are designed to stop you. But when you understand your purpose, you'll know that nothing, no matter what comes your way, can stop who God has called you to be. There may be some days we go through some heartache. There's some days we go through some trials. We go through some tribulation. But all of those are lessons to be learned from to gain something so that you can move forward in your purpose. Because the challenge comes before us and God needs to know, can I trust you? When I read the book of Job, I thought, I said, my God, how can any one person handle this? And this is too much. But he touched him in every area of his life. By the way, if y'all didn't read it, every area of his life was touched. And the reason is, so he actually gave him up, but two, it said, did you check out my servant, Job? So, which tells me that God, hallelujah, had prepared him and placed on the inside of him the power necessary to fulfill his purpose. And so he's still speaking to us today, because now his purpose, he went through all of what he went through and still kept his faith in God. He did not lose focus of who he was. He lost his finances. He lost his sheep. He lost, and by the way, when you leave the sheep and the goats and all of that, that was his money. That was his money. So y'all, to help y'all, so did touch your money. Then he lost the health and lost his children, everything he loved. Okay, everything was touched. And then his own personal health was touched. And yet, he still continued to serve God. And hold on, we don't need no friends like he had either. Because he, someone said, well, you had to, you know, you must have sinned. You must have done this. So, you know, I remember, you know, previous two times in my life, I lost everything. Twice in my life. Flooded, took everything away, lost it. Gone. Washed away. Borrowed money, built it back up. 113 days later, it washed away again. And you know what the people were saying about me? They said, he must be cursed. That's what they said. They said, he must be cursed. And I thought, I'm not receiving that in Jesus' name. I am not cursed. You know what? I realized something. The enemy wanted to stop me. He wanted to see if I would give up. Would I walk away from being who I was supposed to be? If it happened, I wouldn't have met you. I wouldn't have met you. I wouldn't have met you because I would have stopped prematurely. So I realize something now. He has already ordained my purpose. I got to stay in purpose, because I have to, and how to do that, I have to stay connected to the power. If I stay connected to the power on this side, purpose is here in me, I will find the plan that's on the other side for me to walk out. Now, because that's the key to all of us, because many of us want to know what to do next. But if he gave you the complete plan, most of us would not fulfill it. Let me help you out here. So you want to understand, he cannot share the whole plan with you, first and foremost, because then we would even tell it. And so if you tell it, you'd give the enemy more heads up than he's already got. So what he wants you to do is take a step every day towards him. Every day. But knowing that I'm connected to the power, I'm convinced I can do it. Oh, let me help you out. We're human. You get weary. Right? You be like, you know, enough's enough. I want more of this. All right, let me help you out here. So it'll help your spirit. Jesus was all God and all man. Jesus was in the garden, and he said, if there be another way. I want y'all to know that was his spirit, his natural man, speaking and saying, okay, I'd really like to take another route, not this one. But he got no word. Some of y'all have been looking for another answer, and you got no word. When you didn't get another word, guess what that means? You must follow out the path in which was already given. So I'm convinced now for myself. I won't preach about nobody else. I'll preach about me. No matter what has happened and occurred in my life, no matter what the enemy has tried to do, no matter what he's taken away, no matter what God has given me and the enemy has tried to pervert, that I am called with a purpose on his behalf. And I am going to accomplish it, but I'm going to have to trust him step by step by faith. Faith is is the key to our walk with God. Faith is the key to you fulfilling your destiny. Faith is the key to you fulfilling purpose. Now, I gotta help you. I love the explanation that Hebrew gives us about faith. It says, now faith is. The reason you need the word now, because now means this split second. Now means currently. And so in order for faith to be operating and operating in your life, faith must always remain current. Faith does not work for the things in the past. Faith works for the future, but it's not there yet. Hello. So I need it now. Now faith is evidence. What? Evidence. And substance of things not seen yet or hoped for. And hope is futuristic. So let's hear what you hope always pushes stuff. I'm hoping for it. It always pushes something in the future. But faith refers to it when? Now. Y'all just missed it. Something that's been pushed futuristic, faith detects it and calls it when? Now. So when you get that in your spirit, although I don't have it in my hand, I'm going to do and be like I have it in my hand. That's what faith will produce for you. That's why it's listen, and I need you to understand something. You have the power to do it.
Yes, you do. Hallelujah.
He also put in the scriptures, call those things that are not as though they were. That is not lying. That is not when you believe it by faith. I spoke some things to people and said some things to people, and I said it by faith. Now, I didn't have it then. I saw this building before we ever got here. I knew exactly how we were going to lay it out. All this is not by accident. How in the world? I'm going to help somebody here. Somebody said, this guy is crazy. No, faith is not crazy. So the school was starting, and we were still in the old building that had desks and chairs in every room. And I got to belong to an organization that's another nonprofit. And in the nonprofit, they had tables and chairs, brand new. I ordered the tables and chairs and said, I'll take them. We'll want to go, right? I got to tell you something. The tables and chairs were probably well over $75,000 worth of equipment.
Update the computers.
I said, I'll take
this week, okay.
$7,000.
I'm like, can I set it?
Right? So hold it.
When I leave today.
I didn't even realize this myself.
I'll probably set them when
so
I leave today.
Today, one truck showed up. The next day, another truck showed up. The next day, two trucks showed up. Next day after that, another truck showed up. Five trucks full of stuff. Now, I'm not talking about a box truck. I'm talking about a tractor trailer. Came five times. And we unsorted a little, we had nowhere to even put the stuff. We had to take a room and put the stuff. We put stuff over the basement, the orchard, stuff in the room, took a room that we wasn't. We had everywhere we could. I had it in the building that I was leasing. They said, you got to move. You can't have it in the hallway. You know, I mean, we had stuff everywhere. And then the teachers start saying, he crazy. He got to spend and have it. Something's wrong. Now, I got to tell y'all something. We didn't have this building yet. I'm trying to tell you something. So by faith, God already knew we were going to need the equipment. He provided for them months before we ever got here. Now, I had to trust him enough that thinking $7,000 was worth it. Although I didn't even know this was here yet. Yet I knew in my spirit that we would use them. My point is in that his power connected to me, which gave me some faith to believe and trust him, yet I still didn't have the full picture or the full plan, yet I knew God was doing something that was necessary for our future. Things hoped for. He gave me the evidence and the equipment. So if I got stuff to fill up a room, a building that's 40,000 square feet, then why would God have us get all this stuff if he didn't intend for us to use it? Why would God have the chairs and place that he doesn't expect to be putting in some butts? Okay, why would he do that? There's a purpose in it. So the question is, will you quit prematurely because it doesn't look like? Let me help you out here. So many athletes and even Hollywood stars, after their career is over, struggle with depression. The reason they struggle with the depression is because they become accustomed to the applause and the hype. And particularly the athletes, you know, to be able to just live life and walk on the street and nobody's clapping because you slammed the ball down or you caught a touchdown. You know, nobody's seeing anything. You know, mentally it's hard for them to live in that because it's a different time in their life. They started to fall in love with the hype. But that was just a season. And so it's one thing when you can be hyped for God, regardless whether somebody's clapping, regardless whether somebody's giving you praise. I had to decide in my life, after losing everything twice, am I going to give up or am I going to fight through the challenge? Am I going to continue on, Brother Ken, after losing things that were valuable to me and people saying things about me? Because was I going to stop based off of their opinion, or was I going to believe what he said? Now, I want to take y'all to the scriptures because I didn't even go there. All this was just my introduction to tell you about what God's. So I'm talking about walking in purpose. I pray that all of you will today. And I'm going to back it up with scriptures. And I'm going to tie these all together. These are familiar passages of scripture. So if you'll turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. That's the first place we're going to go. Psalms 37. I believe it's verse 23. Psalms 37. I know we're going to bring it up on the screen. Those of you watching, bring it up in your living room. You need to get this down into your spirit. Amen. I want to share with you what God is saying about your purpose. Amen. So verse 37, chapter 37, verse 23. He said, listen to this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, but shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Let me give that to y'all out of the Amplified. These steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, he is busying himself with every step. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord grasped his hand in support to uphold him. So in the midst of this, I needed somebody to know that he didn't say that falling wasn't an option or a possibility. But the only reason we fall is just because the enemy wants us to quit, but God wants you to know he got you. You will not know your power until you exercise it. If anybody doesn't know anything, even in weightlifting or any of those things, you may see certain things and say, well, I'm not sure I can lift that until you do it. And once you accomplish it, and you know, even if you only got it up once, you know that it's possible. Now you build yourself mentally to do it more. Steps of a million miles was taken with the first one.
Yeah.
I'm a little closer when I took one. I get even closer if I take two. So we've got to keep going. So I'm sharing with you. So purpose, as long as I'm connected to the power, I can produce, I can fulfill purpose. And when I fulfill the purpose, the plan will start to be clear.
Yeah.
I'm saying this on purpose.
Yeah.
This is not an accident. Because you know how many people are walking around and have no idea who they are, whose they are, and why are they here?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Everybody wants to know who I am, why I'm here, and what am I going to do with it. Everybody, every person on the earth wants to know that. And I want to tell you, it's possible. Now, it's a plan for you. Now, your plan might not look like my plan. That's why we got to be careful of pigeonholing and putting everybody in the same way. It's important. So tradition told me to do what First Psalm of Solomon did. Well, that ain't going to work for me. Because I'm not them. But if I listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, God will guide me according to my purpose. Our purpose. Now I got to tell you something. We're corporately brought together and everybody is here on purpose. This season in your life, God has you here for a reason. I'm going to go a step further. I think you said you were from San Antonio. So God's got you all the way from San Antonio today. You may have come to visit your sister, which is an honorable thing to do and happy with your family. But today you came to this church and he already knew this day existed before we ever got here because he wanted a word to encourage you for whatever it is you need to do and you're on your way back. And I'm saying, how could you make a statement like that? Because of God. He doesn't do anything by accident.
Right.
And he does everything on purpose. I have no idea what he's going to do, why he's going to do it, but he did it. And so everybody that's in here are here on purpose.
Yes.
And it was his power that got you up to get you here. I couldn't make you get here. And listen, you're in a season of your life. Don't be mad about it.
On purpose.
But purpose is greater than the purpose that got you here. Or the reason. And if we're not careful, we get dismayed about the problem or trials and tribulations that occurred. But I want to tell you, because you're still standing, you're healthy and whole, you got breath in your body, God can do great things through you. But he has to do something to you first. And it's never comfortable. So everybody can agree with me there. There's some things we had to experience in our life that were very uncomfortable, but they catapulted me into my future. So I just told y'all, the scripture said, let me go back in verse 23, right? In the Amplified, he said, the steps of a good man. So I got to tell y'all something. Y'all remember Jesus getting baptized in the Jordan? You remember they said the heavens opened up and people heard it? He said, this is my son who I am well pleased. Did we not hear that? What happens immediately after? He goes in the wilderness. Who led him there? The Holy Spirit. I'm trying to help somebody because we've been complaining about the problems and the trouble. And I want to tell you something, thinking no devil in hell can stop you unless you stop yourself. You can do this thing regardless of what comes. So Jesus gets, he just got a confirmation from his father that he spoke to the point where everybody heard it. According to the scriptures and the scribes and everybody, they said not only did Jesus hear, everybody that was there that day heard what was said. And immediately after, he gets led into the wilderness. For what? To be tempted. What was the tempt and the test for? To stop him. And I need to tell y'all something. Anybody remember how he defeated them? With the word. He spoke the word. When the devil said, hey, that's the other thing. He's going to give him something that already belonged to him. Some of y'all have been promised something that's already been promised you. You start thinking, oh, I want that, but it's already been promised, so if you'll do it God's way, you'll get it. But if you do it his way, he'll take it back eventually. Because he's a thief. Steal, kill, and destroy. He can't do any deal. That's his M.O. So God is, he says, listen, you know, if you follow me and bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. Hold it. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His father owns everything, which means whatever his father owns, he is an heir.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you.
Oh, I got to help out here. Are we heirs to the kingdom of God or not? So he reminds him that he's a fear to remind him that he's an heir. So meanwhile, but that doesn't stop him from trying. So he says, well, listen then, I'm going to do a little something else. Let me take him up to this high place. And let me tempt him again and tell him, let me see if you be the Son of God. Not that you are the Son of God. Now I'm going to challenge you. If you be the Son of God. Now you know what happens when we get challenged. Oh, you're going to challenge me? I'm going to show you. Be careful. Temptations and pushed us to do something where now God didn't call you to do.
There you go.
I believe if he jumped, he would have gotten back up. But it would have been against the purpose and the reason. Would have been wrong, so he would not have had the support of the Father, which would have been a sin. And so he didn't do it. He said, I'm not doing that. He said, healing is the children's bread. And then also, is that, and then he offers him, he's hungry. By the way, 40 days and 40 nights, according to Scripture, when we study it out, he was near death. Because there's very few people who can do water without water and eat. Okay, there has not happened but a few times, and Jesus is one. Did not eat a drink for 40 days and 40 nights. That brought him to a place near death. Now, I got to tell you, that was on purpose. Because now, he's going to operate to come up against the greatest enemy of all. By the way, you and I don't face the devil head on. He doesn't allow him to face us head on. He's got imps that we deal with all the time. Right? But Jesus himself faced him head on. And he defeated him with the word.
Yeah.
Now, what was important is that his physical body was not strong enough. That was the reason he allowed the 40 days. He needed everybody to read it, to see it, to know that physically he wasn't strong enough. He couldn't have fought with his body. But the power of God is greater than the strength of the physical body. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's what I needed to point out. So although we go through and get there, and we get tired and we get weary, listen, if you just continue to trust God, the power will continue to work. To you and to you, somebody shall have.
Hallelujah.
So listen. So I want you to quickly go to Jeremiah chapter 29. It's my favorite verse in the Bible, right? Jeremiah 29, y'all know it, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. My God, that's an awesome scripture. Listen, he says, for I know the thoughts, which means nobody else knows his thoughts. But he said to you, you're so important to me. I know you. I know about you. I know everything in you. And he said, I've actually been calculating, by the way, that's an accounting term. Now, when you take it into accounting, whenever you put the calculations in and you have the right formula, they will always produce the right answer.
Yeah.
And they don't lie. And he said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil. And he goes on to an expected end. And I tell people all the time, so that word, expected end, is also a hieroglyphic word called Akarim. Akarim. And so Akarim, and I said, well, what in the world is Akarim? And I researched it. And so it's a picture word. So as I researched and studied, guess what the picture was? A picture of a rowboat. I'm like, hold it. He said he knows the thoughts towards me. Thoughts of good and not evil. And peace and not evil. And good and I haven't expected it. What does a rowboat have to do with that? Well, I'm going to help you. Anybody know in a rowboat which way you sit? You sit backwards. Which means you don't look at where you're going. He said, well, I'm going to help you. My sheep who live by faith and not by
sight.
So in other words, you can't be looking at me. You will have to trust me based off of what I say. It's not based off of looking at me. So if you're in the rowboat, you're not facing to the direction in which you're supposed to be going. You're facing backwards. Now, he said, faith without works is so if I don't row, I'm going nowhere. So I'm getting it. The rowboat makes a whole lot of sense.
Yes.
I got to face in the opposite direction of which I'm going. But also, if I don't row, I don't get to where I'm going. Now, so he said, but I got an expected end. So the word end, okay, it is not to be, right? But also the word prior to that, expected, is a word, a nautical word of a rope, a weave, right? And I'm not talking about hair, okay? I'm talking about a rope. And it says a threefold rope, which is the strongest rope that exists.
Yeah.
Y'all know about it. Plaits and weaves. All in, right? When you plait it in, it's strong.
Yeah.
One locks the other in. If I put two, it's too weak. If I put four, it's too much. Three is the magical number that locks it in place. But he says it's connected to the rowboat. So I want to share with you about walking in purpose. This is going to help you. Y'all to be this. So if you're going to walk in purpose, you need to understand this. So Jeremiah said, he said, no, I know the thoughts I have to read. That's God talking.
Yeah.
Right? He knows the thoughts he has for you. And an expected end. In other words, if you follow his plan, that the power he's given you to get to where you need to go, your purpose will be fulfilled.
Yes,
and the plan will be carried out.
Hallelujah.
Watch this. A nautical rope and a rowboat. Where's the rope at? The rope is attached to the front end. You row. And as you row, he pulling. Tugging on your heart. You cannot go wrong because if he's on the other end of the rope and you row, it is your efforts, your faith. Just as he said to her, woman, your faith has healed you today. She traveled to where he was to get to touch the hem of his garment. And it was because she believed where he's going. Now I got to tell y'all something. Y'all remember that they said it was a crowd. It was a crowd of people. And the crowd, I don't know about you, but if I see a crowd or traffic, I'm going the other way. Because I don't like traffic and I don't like crowd. Right? But guess what? Had she done that, she would have never gotten in his presence. Guess what happens next? So the very thing that was supposed to be distracting against her pushed her to him. So instead of her not being further away, she got closer to him. So the crowd pushing and moving pushed her closer to Jesus. It pushed her into her destiny. And she, listen, she had spent all that she had outside of that. That'll help somebody too. All the other things we have done and did, and we still ain't getting nowhere. At what point could we start to trust God? At what point?
Yes,
I want to encourage you. At what point? So he said, I'm expecting him. I got a plan for you. And I want to share with you. So if he has a plan for us, then if we'll follow that, we can reach the end and where he wants to go.
Yes.
Now, I've got to take you one more scripture, and I'm going to tie all three together. And I'll be done. I've got to go to Romans chapter 12. So this was important to me that I show you all of these. So we started in Psalms, and it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Then I get to Jeremiah 29. And in 29, it tells me that I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, that you would have an expected end. Glory to God. But now, you got to do something. Paul gets it. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, it's God's mercy that has been on us thus far. That you present your body a living sacrifice. I'll stop right there. I told you. So Jesus, through a sacrifice, will produce the power.
Yeah.
Okay? And Jesus has to go and sacrifice. He follows the plan.
Yeah.
He's connected to the power.
Yeah.
He's now going to fulfill purpose. And it leads him to a place of tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the tragedy is not unto death.
Hallelujah.
The tragedy is going to lead him to the supernatural power that exists on the inside of him, that he will get to know who exactly who he is, but he has to first sacrifice. So he sacrifices himself according to the plan. Now, that wasn't news to Jesus that day. I need to know something he already knew the plan. Now I've got to tell y'all something. Many of y'all know the plan. You already know this stuff, but y'all been resisting because you ain't want to do it. Oh, so I'm not going to talk about it. Just like me. I want to go the other way. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I'll let somebody else do it. Oh, I'll support this. I'll do this. I'll just help out in the men's ministry. I'll just do this over here. Because I don't want to do what he called me to do. But I'll just do some things that look like good work, sound like good work, but you already know the plan. He wouldn't bring you and tell you and put that in your spirit. You said, I know. I want to do that. But can't nobody else do it when you're called to it? He will give you some time to get it together. I can share with you, but I believe at a certain point, if you don't acknowledge it, he'll use somebody else.
Yes,
and then you'll watch and see
him
do what he told you to do. The sacrifice, the sacrifice.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of a preacher. He's still alive. His name is Reinhard Bonnke. He's a German. He's in Germany. And he goes to Africa. Thousands, millions assemble. Millions. Ron, I'm not talking about you, but I was thinking, well, what's the hype? Except you are anointed to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Watch this. But so the word story tells me, or history has told me, that he had that question and he asked God, why do you use me? Why me? Well, God said, do you really want to know? He said, yes, Lord. He said, well, you weren't my first pick. Ron, I don't mean to let you down, but you weren't even my second pick. Ron, I love you, but you wouldn't be my third pick. He said, the three guys before you didn't do it.
Hallelujah.
Somebody shout
hallelujah.
My point in saying that, God's power and God's purpose will fulfill what he sent it to do. The question is whether you will be in the picture. You can be if you'll do what God's called you to do and not run from it. Now, I'm going to help you out how to do it. So, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Transformation, in other words, your mind must change based off of your circumstances, situation, and you'll be like me. How can I do that? The boy from North Philly? Yes. Did I have any examples in my neighborhood? None that I remember.
No, that's right.
Nothing looked like what I'm doing today. Somebody say, but God had a plan. And when he had a plan, he had purpose.
Yes.
And when he had purpose, he had the power to produce
it.
Yes. Ooh, somebody shout hallelujah. And because of that power, I'm here today to say I'm going to fulfill it. And this ain't even it.
Hallelujah.
This is just a part of the journey.
Teach it.
And I want to share with you, I had some lots of trials and tribulations. And more stuff to come. But you know, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Yes.
God is going to fulfill his plan, and he can accomplish what he sent me to do and accomplish it and set it for it to happen, and he can produce all the things. And don't nobody need to get mad at me. Don't get mad. You don't be mad. Get mad at God.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Because I believe he's going to bless me.
Yeah, I know that's right.
God already has. It's already done. I just have to walk in. That's all I'm saying. Walk in. Glory to God. I want to jump in.
Yes.
He said, be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yes.
What did he say? Will? Whose will?
God.
His will.
Yes.
So my point in saying that, although I'm me, and I have a personality, I have a DNA, and I have my mindset, and I have all those things, but I need to take my will to line up with his will for me to walk in the purpose and the destiny in which I have. So the problem that most of us have is that we keep wanting to do
our will.
Got it. And I'm sharing with you, I decided my will ain't worth it, and it can't change. You know, although I talk about I'm the boy from Philly, right? I love my hometown, right, to a degree, but I love God more.
Hallelujah.
Because Philly ain't make me what I am. God did. Now, I talk about Philly everywhere. In fact, you know, I was down south, and I'm with a bunch of preachers and pastors. And the pastor, one of the pastors came to me. He said, he was with his wife. He said, man, where are you from? And I said, Philly. He said, I told my wife. I knew it. You know, and it's just something about our demeanor. You know, from a place, when you're from a certain place, you act like it. Okay? That's because that's what we learned. But I'm hoping now, when they look at me and they talk to me, say, well, where are you from? Who are you? And I would say, a child of the Most High God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's the plan I want today. That's what I'm hoping that all of you will be saying. Because as we walk this, I'm here to encourage you. I'm telling you, I already know. I know there's trials. I know there's tribulation. I know there's problems. They exist in the world that we live in. But I want to tell you something. They cannot stop you. You can only stop you. So if you can get out of you and get into him and turn your will over to his will, life will start to change right before your eyes. Somebody shout
hallelujah.
Walking in purpose. That is my purpose today, is to communicate that message to all of you that are listening, watching, those of you that here, I believe it's not by accident, it's by design, because God himself doesn't live in time, so he spoke this day before we ever got to it.
Yeah.
Right. And anybody think how powerful and important this moment is? So let me help y'all here. It's 11:53 at 22 seconds, so 24 now, right? It never existed. That's God saved us for this time. Y'all don't see the significance of that?
Yes.
Paul ain't here. David ain't here. But we are.
Yes.
My question is, what you gonna do with it? There's power in you.
There's
power in you. Don't let somebody just tell you you're just a young girl that don't know nothing. That's not true. You know God. And he'll start unveiling things to you. The more you just, I know why I keep coming. I know why I'm what I'm doing. And I'm hanging in there. Because he's got purpose for your life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And yes, people will try to distract you from it.
Yes, they will. Hallelujah.
Don't ever say that. We have to be careful. Sometimes it's even people real close to us. Sometimes the people we think got our back. All I'm telling y'all is pay attention to God. So I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just saying stay focused. Because sometimes you think, I got one more piece to tell you. Abraham says, he says, God says, the very thing you love, I want to know when you give it to me. And that was Isaac. He was prepared to kill Isaac, but he was prepared for God to resurrect him too. I need y'all to know that. He had no idea that there was a ram in the bush. And God never even allowed it to happen. But he needed to know who you're doing. And when he said, he was getting ready to do it, he said, stay the hand. But he also said, now I know. That's the same thing he told Job. When Job, we get to the end of the book, I think in chapter 43, he says to him, now I know. I can trust you.
Glory to God.
And y'all know the story. This isn't why it was done. But according to the scriptures, this is Job. I want everybody to see what I'm getting ready to do. By the way, y'all need to know something. Job was the richest man in the universe. Not these guys now that have inflated wealth and they do this and all this. They step on people and they do all this. Job was the man of God. He said he gave him double for his trouble. Everything he lost, he gave him. He multiplied his kids over. He multiplied his sheep over, his goats over, his cows over, whatever he got twice as much. The richest man in the universe. But it wasn't about his wealth. But he wanted him to know the very things that the enemy touched, the very thing that you was worried about that he touched, I'm going to give back to you twice as much. But if you'll trust me, and work with it, and do what I called you to do, and be who I called you to be, then I'll do what I said I would do. You cannot have the promise without a sacrifice. The sacrifice produces the power. I made up in my mind. Evangelist, I made up in my mind. If some of the things I got to deal with my kids, then it's the cost of who I am. And I'm just going to do it, regardless of what happened. Now, it don't always feel good, but I'm convinced I'm not turning around. I'm not giving up. And if this is the price, then so be it. Then God, you'll have to fix that on how you got a plan to fix that. But I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I don't know who that's for other than me, but it's somebody else in here too. I'm not giving up. And I want to encourage you. Walking in your
Hallelujah.
All right. He said, I got one more piece. I got to give you this. He said, it's never too late. Because I just read somebody's mind. He says, well, I'm older and I've done, you know, I've lived my life. Do not fulfill purpose yet. He said, it's never too late.
Never too late. Never too late.
I keep giving y'all scripture. Don't you? Y'all remember? And I don't want to equate you to the thief on the cross, but the thief on the cross got it right the day that he was going to die.
Yeah.
Make sure it
doesn't. Thief on the cross. And he said to him, you are God. And I believe you, and you don't deserve to be here, but because you're doing that, you're doing it all for us. Guess what the Lord says to him? Today. When? Today. Heart of faith is when?
Yeah.
He told him, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He took him with him because he got it right that day.
Hallelujah.
Y'all want to talk about the power of faith? He lived his entire life. I'm not giving nobody no license to go around because you can't play with that. You have no idea of the time and the moment. But he lived his whole life as a heathen. And that day he got saved.
Hallelujah.
Ooh.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The power of God can change you in an instant. The power of God can change your walk. The power of God can change your talk. And the power of God can change your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's walk in, y'all. Let's walk in our anointing. I don't want you to be like nobody else. Because I've concluded this too. You know, I'm probably tired of hearing me talk about it. But I am so amazed at this little tiny piece of real estate called a fingerprint. And I actually know that there's 8.6 billion people, according to the census, on the earth. Right? And not one person has the same fingerprint. That just blows my mind. How is that possible that it can't be duplicated in this little bit of space? No duplication.
Woo, glory to God.
And who you were created in whom?
God the God.
Does that say something about God? In all of us, 8.6 billion, that's 8.6 billion that are alive. There must be 50 million that it's gone on now, right? All of them are part of him with purpose.
Yeah.
So that was just a little itty bitty piece of his spirit, of who he is, because all of us know in part.
Yeah.
And if we fulfill it, and one last scripture, he said, Pastor, how many times do you say that? He said, greater works would you do. Now, I struggled with that mentally for a long time because I think, holy God, how could you commission us to say greater works we do? And you're God. And it finally hit me. Then he said, if we would do our part, and we all know in part, but together, I could be in Delaware, you could be in Virginia, and you could be in New York, and you could be somewhere else across the country. But if all of us are doing what the will of God says, we can all do miracles. We get on wherever we are. Because all his miracles only occurred where he was.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So if God is in you, then you bring the presence of God where you are. Y'all see? So now I get it. Greater works would we do. Because now we multiply. So that's why the enemy is fighting us and fighting you for fulfilling destiny. Because he doesn't want you to discover who you are, whose you are, and how powerful you are. Does it make sense now? So I start thinking, thank you, Lord. So I want to tell you, it's imperative that you walk in your purpose. That is my prayer for all of you. And I pray to God today. Father, I thank you for the opportunity you have given me to speak to these your people. Father, I pray for their lives. Father, you said, you even prayed in John chapter 17, that you were praying for them, that the word that they said, people would get healed, people would get delivered, people would get set free, because they said what you said. And so, God, I'm praying that as well. I'm praying, Father, for them, that you have sent me to hear my voice. God, I pray that it's not that they hear my voice, but they hear your words. And I pray, God, that their lives will never be the same again. Father, I bind up the hand of the enemy. I come against distractions. I come against trials and tribulations. We know they exist in the world, but greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Now, God, have your way in this place. have your way in their lives. God, change lives, change hearts, change attitudes. But God, let your effect have a place in our lives because you know the thoughts you have towards us. And they were thoughts of peace and not evil, and that we haven't expected it. God, I look forward to that place in you. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Well, I know why the enemy was coming against me, because I needed to get that out. And I'm grateful. I want to say I'm thankful to all of you. And I'm praying. We're going to continue to pray. And Father, right now, there's if any hearts and minds that need a touch from you, God, I pray that you would touch them in a special way. God, I pray right now, hallelujah, that your word has penetrated their hearts and their minds. And God, you told us not to be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And Father, I'm thanking you for giving us minds today. We're thinking and looking in a different way. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get ready for our tithes and offering. So if you have your tithes and offering, we're also going to bring up on the screen, we have envelopes. On the envelope, there's a QR code. If you want to give electronically, the QR code will also come up on the screen.